Grab a seat. Hi, it's me again. Thank you, Matthew, for the way you've led us this morning. It's been really cool. I mean, thank all of you. Yeah. But no, I appreciate it. Oh, thank you. I said thank you. Okay, this morning, I have the privilege of introducing you to our focus for 2024, which seems a bit weird because, like, you know, I'm stepping out, but yet I get to deliver this. I'm going to share with you the journey, just in a nutshell. It's just a very broad overview of how we got to this place, and hopefully I will leave you encouraged for the next season. So I've had all the feels this week. I'm really not sure if I'll make it through this, but I'll give it my best. I want to start with a scripture. It is not the focus verse, just so we're clear. But it's Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I am reminded by that verse that God is never changing, always moving, but never changing. He's always at work. Maybe not on the Sabbath. I don't know how that works. But I wanted to start with this verse because for some time now, there has been a sense within the church, the big church, that God is moving and that something is shifting and something is stirring. In 2020, our senior leadership team at Coast Community sensed this as well. They started to pay attention and thus began a discernment journey that's heading into its fourth year. And it was to discern the move of the Spirit and how we can respond accordingly. Now, I just want to throw a little disclaimer in there, because when I typed in my notes, discernment journey, something in me sort of half prayed. Is there another way of saying that? Because, and then I had to look a little bit deeper. I'm like, why are you bothered by that? And it's because I feel like discernment journey has some negative connotations attached to it, as it's often perceived as a spiritual excuse for inactivity, inaction, and indecisiveness. But I want to assure you that that's definitely not the case for Coast. These 4 years, whilst on the outside, may not look like we've moved much, but I can assure you the needle has definitely shifted. It has been a long and challenging process, and there have been stints where it has felt like there's no progress or that God's been silent. That's the reality of it. But as I look back, it has also been incredibly fruitful. We have seen structural changes that have resulted in increased collaboration and participation within our body. To welcoming a new senior leader, that's not an easy thing. That's not nothing to do. And the process has brought the fruit of clarity and unity and a strong sense of alignment with where we feel God is leading us. And I can even say that this is true for those who have stepped out of paid ministry but are still with us. It's my personal story. I am fully aligned with where we are going, which is why I am stepping out to make room for what needs to happen. So that is the journey so far in a nutshell. But what I'd like to point out is that it is a journey. This isn't done. This is ongoing. And we need to continue to collectively be in a posture of listening. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather be in a faith community that stops and seeks and waits patiently for God than one that would try and forge ahead in their own strength and their own wisdom. There's no victory in that. There's fruit in the waiting. So now we come to our focus for this year. But before I reveal that to you, I just want to pray a simple prayer over us. God, help us to perceive. Give us fresh eyes to move with the Spirit. Amen. Okay. Last year, during one of these processes of discernment, we asked the question, why does the church exist? We're not the only ones asking that. And more specifically, why does Coast Community Church exist? And found that this was actually expressed as a purpose and a mission. And they are articulated in these two statements. That our purpose is to contend for the renewal of the Central Coast, and our mission is to participate in the coming of God's kingdom as we love others with the love of Christ. These two statements are our focus for 2024. They will shape our teaching for the year. So what does this mean? What does it mean to contend for the renewal of the Central Coast? What is it to participate in the coming of God's kingdom as we love others with the love of Christ? Now, spoiler alert, but if you've read the newsletter this week, then you'll have my answer, because we just transplanted it from my notes into the newsletter. But this is what I think it means. Contending for renewal involves a recognition that as the body of Christ, collectively and individually, we are called to actively participate in God's mission of restoration, reconciliation on earth. The resumption of our God-given purpose to partner with God fully, to see the Central Coast realigned with His presence. We are contending for the well-being of our communities, and we are contending for the love of Christ to be known by our neighbours. We are contending against the powers and principalities of this world. Ephesians 6:12 from the Amplified Version tells us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly, the supernatural places. This focus, our mission, it's both spiritual and practical. And I love it. I love it because it lives into the reality that the church exists for the sake of others. It says that Coast Community is an outward-focused church. Now, this speaks to me. It ignites something inside of me, because I remember when I was 16 and when I chose to follow Jesus, one of the most attractional things about the Christian life was that call into this bigger story, this bigger purpose, this bigger mission, and that I had something to bring to that. I have found, though, and I need to lament over this, that story, as the years have gone on, as I have journeyed, has gotten smaller. And then I feel like the focus of the church has been less outward and more inward. But I sense that God is leading us back into his bigger story. And that is awesome. Let's revisit Isaiah. But this time, we're going to look at the preceding verse. It's verse 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I held verse 18 back because I felt like we might need to ease into it. But we're meant to be agents of change, but yet we don't really like change. We are creatures of comfort and habit. That's a fact, it's not a criticism. If we are to believe that God is a God who is doing a new thing, then we must accept that change is inevitable. And there will be some unlearning and relearning and some letting go that will come with the change. No doubt, this is going to be uncomfortable. But it is a very essential, necessary, refining process that we need to step into if we want to step into this bigger story. That's not to say, and I don't want anyone to hear otherwise, but it's not to say that what has come before in terms of how we've done church in the past is bad. Most of us are the fruit from it. It was anointed for its season. And we can absolutely learn from the past. We can absolutely stand on the shoulders of those who'd come before us. We give credit where credit is due, and we celebrate it. But at the same time, we need to face the reality that the church has lost its effectiveness in meaningfully reaching people outside of its walls. And the institution of the church just simply does not have the trust of the community. And that's understandable. A lot of damage has been done in the name of the church. And so with our unlearning, our relearning, our letting go, comes lamenting and repenting. I'm encouraged by Isaiah. Because when I read this scripture, we can see that God doesn't want us to get stuck. He doesn't want us to get comfortable or caught up in our own tradition. He wants us to continue telling his story of how good he is. That story that's in and comes through us by inviting us into a renewed expression of the church. He wants us to join him in what he's already doing. It's already happening. I am now going to defer to my friend Tim Sorens, who articulates the sentiment of both our focus and where I feel we're being led as the church. He's not really my friend. He just wrote one of my favorite Christian books. I feel like we would be friends. If we accept the joy and burden of transforming how we and our neighbors experience what it means to be the church in our everyday lives, it wouldn't be manufactured by flawless execution. If we are willing to reclaim God's call to be disciples of Jesus with our whole lives, We need to name our dependence on the living God up front. If we have the audacity to chart a path that could make history, it will not be of our own doing. It's critical to say up front that this transformation we seek is a gift to be received by our active God, not a technique to be mastered by driven people. Our future will hinge on the reality, on this reality. This bit gets me every time. Renewal movements throughout church history have always been led by ordinary people who are so desperate for change that they forfeit their capacity to make it happen in their own power. If we become the kind of people who simultaneously pray and hope desperately for a change while refusing to change the outcome, to control the outcome, sorry, we will be, sorry, can't read. We will be astounded at what we get to experience. When this happens, we will say that we got to be part of what God was doing in our day. We will tell stories to our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids about God's prevailing work among the confusion of the early 21st century. When we look back, we will be overcome with gratitude, not pride. We will shake our heads in wonder. Our creased faces will smile in appreciation. Our tired bodies will hold within them hundreds of stories. When we look back, we will know we took the chance to partner with what God was doing in our day. That's all coming. But first, we need to look forward and have the courage to ask some hard questions. We need to uncover the hidden forces that keep us from being what we are called to become. We need to be honest with how most people experience the church and wrestle with what its purpose is, what it exists for. We are either in the moment before the movement or the moment before the meltdown. Our present future has so much at stake. Everywhere we look, God is doing a new thing in our day, and we get to receive this as the gift that it is. Renewal movements throughout church history have always been led by ordinary people who are desperate for change, but they forfeit their capacity to make it happen in their own power. We, as a church, are at a crossroad. I don't even think it's a crossroad. It might just be we're on a path and we are approaching a U-turn sign where it's acceptable to do a U-turn. And we have a choice where we can trust God what's ahead, or we can turn back. This is where we're at. And do you know what? For us, for Bensville, I'm just going to be blunt, it's probably going to get a little bit hard from here, a little bit confusing, a little bit tricky. But as Karen reminded us, God's got it. God's got us. This is His church. He's building it. And finally, that's your cue that we didn't talk about. Before renewal can happen corporately or wider, it needs to begin with each of us. We need to contend for the renewal in our own lives. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to do the journey within ourselves before we can renew our church community or the wider community. We need to engage in our spiritual practice, in our prayer, in deep spiritual friendships, so that we can discern what God is speaking to us, to discern what it is that you bring to the table of the church. The church, his bride, not he. Just so we're clear. We are going to unpack this, obviously, we're going to take a year to unpack this focus, and I'm not doing it all today. But I do want to encourage you that I feel like Coast Community are asking good questions. Coast Community is leaning in and seeking to hear and discern the will of God for us. You're invited into that. We need everyone on that journey. And we are taking faithful and faith-filled steps to follow the lead of the Spirit. And I believe there's exciting times ahead. Now, at the start of this year, several people, not really connected, all gave me the same verse. And if you would allow me, I would like to speak it over you. So, 2 weeks in a row, this is bad. So please, if you feel comfortable, would you stand while I speak this over you? This journey ahead is going to take courage. It's going to take a lot of grace. And a lot of care and a lot of bearing with one another. This is what God said to Joshua before he was about to lead the Israelites into the promised land. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And then it goes on to say, repeat itself, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I've asked these guys if they would lead us in a particular song, because it was this song that actually sparked curiosity about some of the traditions that I was holding so dearly and so tightly that perhaps God is asking us to let go of. So I've asked them to lead us in it. Thank you.